scientific socialism at its very beginning, to express itself clearly, fully, and to the last consequence on the subject of its real content, to expect it to deny openly and bluntly the theoretic basis of the social democracy would amount to underrating the power of scientific socialism. Today, he who wants to pass as a socialist and at the same time declare war on Marxian doctrine, the most stupendous product of the human mind in the century, must begin with involuntary esteem for Marx. He must begin by acknowledging himself to be his disciple, by seeking in Marx's own teachings the points of support for an attack on the latter, while he represents this attack as a further development of Marxian doctrine. On this account, we must, unconcerned by its outer forms, pick out the sheathed kernel of Bernstein's theory. This is a matter of urgent necessity for the broad layers of the industrial proletariat in our party. No coarser insult, no baser aspersion, can be thrown against the workers than the remarks, "Theocratic controversies are only for academicians." Some time ago, LaSalle said, "Only when science and the workers, these opposite poles of society, become one, will they crush in their arms of steel all obstacles to culture." The entire strength of the modern labor movement rests on theoretic knowledge. But doubly important is this knowledge for the workers in the present case, because it is precisely they and their influence in the movement that are in the balance here. It is their skin that is being brought to market. The opportunist theory in the party, the theory formulated by Bernstein, is nothing else than an unconscious attempt to assure predominance to the petty bourgeois elements that have entered our party, to change the policy and aims of our party in their direction. The question of reform or revolution, of the final goal and the movement, is basically, in another form, but the question of the petty bourgeois or proletarian character of the labor movement. It is therefore in the interest of the proletarian mass of the party to become acquainted, actively and in detail, with the present theoretic knowledge remains the privilege of a handful of academicians in the party. The latter will face the danger of going astray. Only when the great mass of workers take the keen and dependable weapons of scientific socialism in their own hands will all the petty bourgeois inclinations, all the opportunistic currents, come to naught. The movement will then find itself on sure and firm ground. Quantity will do it. Rosa Luxemburg. Part 1. Chapter 1. The Opportunist Method. If it is true that theories are only the images of the phenomena of the exterior world in the human consciousness, it must be added, concerning Edward Bernstein's system, that theories are sometimes inverted images. Think of a theory of instituting socialism by means of social reforms in the face of the complete stagnation of the reform movement in Germany. Think of a theory of trade union control. Consider the theory of winning a majority in Parliament after the revision of the Constitution of Saxony and in view of the most recent attempts at universal suffrage. However, the pivotal point of Bernstein's system is not located in his conception of the practical tasks of the social democracy. It is found in his stand on the course of the objective development of capitalist society, which in turn is closely bound to his conception of the practical tasks of the social democracy. According to Bernstein, a general decline of capitalism seems to be increasingly improbable because, on the one hand, capitalism shows a greater capacity of adaptation, and on the other hand, capitalist production becomes more and more varied. The capacity of capitalism to adapt itself, says Bernstein, is manifested first in the disappearance of general crises, resulting from the development of the credit system, employers' organizations, wider means of communication, and informational services. It shows itself, secondly, in the tenacity of the middle classes, which hails from the growing differentiation of the branches of production and the elevation